This is 88.5 NEPM. Western Mass could see economic benefits from a passenger rail service that cuts across the top of the state, but are the costs too high? I'm Carrie Healy, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. We've got Chris Lisinski from the State House News Service on the line. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good to be back with you, Carrie.
Wrapping up a study of northern tier passenger rail options, the Mass Department of Transportation says it examined 6 options to transport people from the state's northwestern corner to Boston without driving on Route 2. The rail options come at a cost of as much as $3 billion. State Representative John Barrett of North Adams reminded us that Western Mass residents are already paying for Boston area transit through the state's sales tax. So, Chris, what's the bottom line here? The cost of the service versus economic benefit for the state?
MassDOT's study experts found that each of these 6 options could definitely provide some economic benefits for the region, bigger benefits from more investment, which tracks logically. The highest ridership option, which is the one that has nearly $3 billion in upfront costs, could draw some 540 to 830 people per day on trips anywhere between North Adams and Boston. As I'm sure your listeners are very familiar, there is no consistent passenger rail west of Worcester right now in Massachusetts, or west of Fitchburg, I guess would be the more apt corollary here for the northern tier. So it would be a really significant change.
So this 112-page report, like the earlier draft, remains skeptical on how cost-effective the plan really would be. But the report now includes loads of public comments in support of the plan from residents and leaders here in Western Mass. Does that kind of thing actually sway decision makers?
I don't know that commentary in the report is going to sway decision makers, because it's arguments that they've likely already heard before, especially from figures like Senator Joe Comerford, who has long been a vocal supporter of the Northern Tier passenger rail. That being said, you know, linking something like this to the ongoing conversation about economic development, housing costs, and competitiveness seems like there could be some traction, albeit, you know, traction in the face of a pretty high price tag.
You know, there's always a lot of movement and political momentum behind a west-east rail plan to the south going through Springfield and Pittsfield. Does the state see that project as a competitor to Northern Tier, or is there any possibility of both becoming a reality?
The sense I get is that the, I guess you want to call it, southern option is much further along. Northern Tier is still being studied, still being examined as something abstract and conceptual, whereas West-East Rail, East-West Rail, whichever order you prefer, there is some initial federal money already flowing to start laying the groundwork to get that up in place. So I don't know that they're necessarily competitors. It's more that one is further along in the process than the other.
In other news, Massachusetts voters in November passed that ballot question authorizing a performance audit of the legislature. It's been a month since that vote, and last week, Auditor Diana DiZoglio sent a second letter to top Beacon Hill lawmakers and clerks demanding they comply with her probe. In the letter, she requests the setting of meeting dates to move the process forward, but there's a hiccup, a disagreement between DiZoglio and Secretary Bill Galvin over when the voter approved law actually takes effect and can be enforced. What's going on?
All of this seems to hinge on reading of the Constitution, which says that ballot approved laws shall take effect 30 days after the election, or at such time after such election as may be provided in such law. So to put that in plain English, DiZoglio says that the measure explicitly empowering her office took effect Thursday, which was 30 days after the November 5th election. Galvin insists that it actually takes place 30 days after certification of the election results. That certification happened on Wednesday, so in his mind, the effective date is basically a month later in early January. We don't really know what happens next. DiZoglio is trying to plow ahead based on her reading of the Constitution. Legislative leaders who have always resisted the audit effort are probably going to point to Galvin's interpretation and say that she can't seek this data because the law is not effective yet. and it might wind up needing some kind of adjudication from Attorney General Campbell or the courts.
That's Chris Lisinski, a reporter with the State House News Service in Boston. Chris, thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
This is Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the State House. You can subscribe to this podcast and others from NEPM and our website, that's nepm.org/podcast. This is 88.5 NEPM.